Hey everyone, it's Tuesday, September 29th, 2020. Welcome to Weigh-Ins, an MMA spinoff series of the Ginger and the Beard podcast.
In this week's episode, we'll be discussing the outcomes of UFC 253, including a recap of the light heavyweight and middleweight championship bouts.
We'll also be talking about what's next for Jon Jones and a potential charity matchup between Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. Stick around.
And we're back. Let's do this.
What's up, guys? I'm AJ, a.k.a. The Ginger.
And I'm Reese, a.k.a. The Beard. Before we jump into the episode, guys, make sure to take a look at the description or YouTube chapters if you want to skip ahead. But for now, sir, how was your weekend?
It was good, man. Reunited, and it feels so good. We didn't do an episode on Friday, so I feel like I need to catch up on your life.
Reunited and yeah. It feels so good. Oh yeah. Man.
I mean, we both had family packed weekends, it looked like. My parents came into town to visit with us and the grandkids. Did a lot of fun stuff. We went to the beach, went out for breakfast. Nice. Tried to go out for some ice cream at this crazy new like milkshake bar that just opened up in Virginia Beach. That they like literally, dude, if you guys come down anytime soon, we'll check this place out. But they literally put like whole donuts, whole cupcakes, whole pieces of cheesecake on top of this mountain of a milkshake.
What?
It's like diabetes in a jar.
Oh my God.
They also serve like dipped cookie dough popsicle things. It's just crazy.
Who needs insulin when you got places like that?
Right? Yeah, exactly. The place is called The Yard. Let me know if you get the connection.
Wait,
if not, I can give you
boys
a clue.
Boys bring all the boys to
brings all the...
That's it. That's The Yard. Got it.
That's it, man. So we tried to go there, but unfortunately the line for the last five times we've tried to go has been wrapped around the building, so we literally can't get in there. We rode past today, actually, and it was raining outside, and there's still a line of like 10 or 15 people, and we're like, not worth it. But otherwise, yeah, we had a good weekend, man. Really good weekend with the family.
What'd you get, man? What was yours?
We didn't get to go.
You guys didn't go to The Yard?
No, we tried, and the line was like a mile long. It's had like 100 people. So every time we've tried to go, the line's just too long, and we're like, nope, forget it.
I wouldn't go either.
So
is it people like standing outside, or is it like cars?
No.
Get out of here.
I should have taken a picture. I mean, it's literally people lined up down the sidewalk. Rain, snow, sunshine, doesn't matter.
People are crazy, man. Gotta get that.
I mean, the milkshakes, bringing them to The Yard, man. I don't know what you want to say.
Gotta get that, you know? That's all it is.
Yeah, so. But it was a good weekend, man. And you, on the opposite hand, traveled to see family, I think.
Yeah, man. So we went up to good old OHIO. And, you know, nice long trip. First time this year. Usually we go about four or five times a year to go visit the Rents, you know, the good old Rents. And so we finally made it up there, had to go see them. And it was a good time. It was relaxing, you know, much needed. Sat by a campfire every night, drank a lot of alcohol. drank a little bit more alcohol after that. That was good too. and then we ate crabs, dude. What's really crazy is like, you know, out in the Midwest there, you know, they don't have crabs like we do. We're on the East Coast, you know. If you want crabs, you just go drive a little bit, you got crabs. They're everywhere. And not the bad kind, the good kind. So we found a place that'll actually FedEx crabs to
what?
Ohio. Yeah. For free. So it was free FedEx shipping. It was a special that they were doing. Shout out to Jimmy's Crabs. Make sure to go check them out. They're freaking awesome. Yeah, so they shipped them out, dude. Got them they shipped them out, and then we got them the next day. And they were still and what's crazy is they were frozen when we got them.
So they're not live crabs.
Nah, they're not live crabs. They cook them, then they freeze them, and then they sent them to us. You know, we had to, we thought they'd be good to ready to go by the time they got to us. We had to heat them up and everything. And, along with that, we had these huge freaking rock clam shells that were just like tons of meat in those. And yeah, it was like a little crab bake, but, really good time. It was good to see the family, back in town now, back into the swing of things. So, ready for my next vacation, whenever that is.
Nice, man. Well, that's awesome, dude. I'm glad you had a good time. I saw those pictures, instantly made me hungry. I don't know if I've ever been at like a legit crab boil before. Shayna's mom has done something similar to that and has kind of dumped it out on the kitchen table.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, that looked, I think they call it like Frogmore stew or something like that. But yeah, the crab looked delicious.
I've never heard of Frogmore stew. It was like a clam boil is what they were calling it. They put like chicken and sausage and corn and potatoes and chicken broth and everything, and then the crabs, you know, usually you cook them alive and you steam them, you know. So
poor
sometime
little fellas.
Yeah, sometime when you guys come up here, we'll have to do a crab day.
And let's do that.
We have a crab pot, so we're good to go. We're halfway there. We just need crabs. Well, a third of the way there. We need crabs and then you guys.
Maybe I can bring the crabs. Maybe we can bring some crabs from the ocean.
Oh, man. I don't know if you want to do that. If you want your car to your car will stink like crabs for weeks.
Delicious. Well, on another note, we had an exciting weekend for the both of us. We enjoyed simultaneously from different states. UFC 253 took place finally. The big fight we've all been waiting for, or fights, plural, really. We got to get into all of that stuff. But before we jump into our UFC 253 recap, I want to remind all you guys watching on YouTube or listening in your cars on your podcast app to subscribe to us. Subscribe to our show in your favorite podcast app. Drop us a review on Apple Podcasts. And most importantly, share this episode with a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to help us grow our show. And we appreciate your support. All right, man. Let's get into this.
Let's do it, dude. We're going to start off with one of the earlier fights in the night, right? Do you want to talk about Kai Kara France and Brandon Royal first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Number one, shout out to Kai. That's my son's name too. So I was kind of rooting for this guy just from the jump, even though I'm not familiar with really either one of these fighters, to be honest. But this was an exciting fight, man. Really short fight. The short fight's kind of the story of the night, honestly. Obviously, we're skipping ahead to the three top fights just in the interest of time and everything. But this was really exciting, man. Brandon Royal came in as the underdog.
Right.
But started the fight super aggressive. I think they were talking. I'm not sure if he came off a loss before this fight, but it seemed like he was coming out with something to prove, and came out super aggressive and kind of a little bit careless, actually. And like really early in the first round, he got dropped. And do you remember this part? He got dropped. But like as he's like recovering, getting his legs back under him, He drops this vicious like spinning back elbow and nails Kai Kara France like perfectly
right
on the button, and he falls down as well.
Dude, it was awesome. It was awesome. It was like those, rarely do you ever see those times where it's like both guys get rocked at the same time, which is crazy because we saw that same thing happen last week with Span and why can't I think of his name right now?
Johnny Walker.
Yeah, Johnny Walker.
Yeah, that's right. That's right, man.
It was the same thing, and it's so awesome. But this ended up being the fight of the night too. So like that was just basically like the start of it, though. That was the first round where that happened, and then they were just kind of going at it. There was some, you know, high level grappling going on. You know.
Yeah, he Royale's this guy. Like he looks a lot like, you know, like a Johnny Walker or like Tony Ferguson. Like you just couldn't really tell where he was gonna open up at, like where he was gonna start striking from. Just so many different looks. To be the person standing in front of him, I'm not sure how you would like prepare for what he was about to throw at you. His very unorthodox.
Kind of reminds you of like a Tony Ferguson, right? He almost kind of has like that same type of like lanky, skinny body type, and then he has that weird fighting style where he dropped a spinning. you know, he did the spinning elbow, and then he was doing some knees and, you know, scrambling really well on the ground. Like, I'm wondering, man, they might be related.
Maybe, you never know. But yeah, I think that first round he definitely took it, and then coming into the second round, he definitely seemed like the fresher fighter. I don't think he was as you know, as stunned as Kai was in terms of, you know, recovering from that knockdown. And eventually, you know, in the second round, Brandon Royal locked up a standing guillotine that just looked vicious. Like, he was going to, I literally was like, how is this guy's head not coming, like, off of his body? Like,
yeah,
he was putting, I mean, Brandon had his full body weight on Kai Kara France's head and just tugging away at it. And eventually he got the tap. Did he get the tap, or did he didn't go out?
Yeah, he tapped. He tapped.
I remember it now because it was actually kind of hard to see from the viewer's perspective. But fortunately, the ref was underneath of both fighters, you know, looking underneath them and saw the tap.
Yeah. And I think Kai Kara France is actually teammates with Israel Adesanya. Interesting enough.
Okay.
I think they were asking him about it later on. But that's really neither here nor there. I mean, really, it was just a fantastic performance by Brandon Royal. And everybody had already kind of heard of Kai Kara France and was looking at him as being like an up and comer, I think. And then this guy, Brandon Royal, comes about, and, you know, it just kind of goes to show you how volatile, you know, the UFC rankings are. You just never know. You never know what's coming next, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Which division was that for? Was that in lightweight, or was that, those guys are pretty small.
Yeah, I'm going to say 145, but,
It was actually flyweight.
Oh, really? Okay.
Whatever that is in terms of weight.
I think it's one weight down. I should probably know my weight classes by now.
I feel like I study them and learn them, and then I forget like the next day just because it's hard, man. Remembering things at age 30 is hard.
Yeah, yeah, right? If you don't learn them when you're young. But also the fact that like – I feel like they're completely different than like what the what boxing uses. They're like, because I think flyweight in the UFC is like 125, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that 135?
I'm honestly not sure, dude.
All right, I gotta look it up now before we move on. UFC weight classes. I'll find out for sure.
All right,
strawweight is. Oh, wait, there is no straw weight. Flyweight is 115. What? Oh, no, it's 125. Sorry. Straw weight is 115, which, like, there's, like, nobody that fights at straw weight. Flyweight is 125. Bantamweight is 135. Featherweight is 145. So how do we remember this? FBFL.
We'll come up with something.
SFBFLWMLT. MLH.
That's very easy to remember.
Work with that. Work with it.
Okay. We'll work on that. We'll get back to you guys on that one.
Straws fly, bats, feathers, lights. Never mind. I gave up. I thought I had something
in that one.
I thought I almost had it there, but I guess. Anyway.
We'll get there. So yeah, the featherweight division. I mean, anybody coming up in the featherweight division, you've got a lot of people to get through. To get anywhere close to the top. I mean, I'm looking at the bottom, like, four guys right now, four or five guys. You got Bryce Mitchell, Edson Barboza, Ryan Hall, Sadiq Youssef, Dan Ige. I mean, all these guys are serious contenders. That's a pretty stacked division in itself. So good luck to Brandon Royal. I'd like to see him fight again. I don't think he took much damage in that fight, so it would be cool to see him fight again, if not this year, early next year. So congratulations to him. But we've got two title belts to talk about. Number one, the co-main event of the night, Dominic Reyes versus Jan Błachowicz. We talked about this a couple different times on the show previously, and I don't know that we ever really gave an official like prediction here. I think we both were leaning more towards Dominic taking this title. A little upsetting, I guess.
Yeah, I think I was leaning pretty heavily towards Dominic taking this, and you know, everybody was basically saying, well, it could go either way. Jan's got pretty good knockout power, but I was basically just going off of his performance against John Jones.
Yeah.
And what he did to John Jones. But, you know, I never thought that Jan had that much power, man. That was Whew, geez, man, that was crazy. You know, yeah. You know, going through round one, I think that they were feeling each other out. What I was really surprised at is how Dominic Reyes didn't come out swinging like he did against John. It was very slow, and they were both just kind of like feeling each other out. I felt like Dominic was very timid, but I mean, you could basically say the same for Jan, but Jan was, I think, kind of stalking him a little bit more, and Dominic seemed to be on the back foot a little bit more. You know, I think they were like kind of picking their shots and just waiting to see, you know, the movement and everything like that. And, you know, probably just hold off until round two to really let go. What are your thoughts on round one?
Yeah, exactly the same thing. Very slow. I mean, I never really expected anything differently when there's a 5-round fight. You know, they should take their time and kind of feel each other out. That's a smart way to go about it. But I totally agree with you. We're used to seeing Dominic Reyes come out in a very aggressive fashion, and maybe he was worried about gassing out. I mean, I think we saw in the John Jones fight that rounds 4 and 5 is definitely when he started to show his fatigue. And so I guess maybe he was expecting this fight to go a little bit closer to the, you know, the final bell. But and so maybe that's why he, you know, was taking his time. He even came out and tweeted after the fight and said, "Got to pull the trigger. Nothing left to do but get back up." And he congratulated Jan on his performance. So even he himself is like, hey, you know, I was a little bit too reserved. But yeah, I mean, that first round, very reserved from Dominic, not as much from Jan. And Jan, dude, I don't know if you remember, but he is blasting Dominic's ribs with some kicks. Jeez. I mean, like 3 kicks landed in the exact same spot on Dominic's ribs, and the immediate bruise and swelling from that was just brutal. I wouldn't be surprised if it came out that he maybe broke some ribs with that. But
dude, did you see the pictures afterwards?
No, I hadn't seen the pictures.
It looked like somebody took a meat tenderizer and just pounded him on the ribs for like an hour.
Yeah, it was brutal.
It was red and like blistered, and it was like from a couple leg kicks. I've never seen somebody get that much damage from a couple leg kicks.
They were solid leg kicks. And even during the fight, John Jones, I'm not sure if you recall, but he shows those little tweets at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
John Jones was tweeting. He said, left body shot or left body kick is open all day or something like that. And that was in the first round.
And it was.
So, and yeah, I mean,
Jan exposed it.
Absolutely. So going into the second round, you know, Jan again, definitely more busy at the start of the round. Dominic still looked surprisingly fresh, even after taking those shots to the body. But every time Jan would advance towards him, he would start to cover up. So I don't know if there was some residual pain happening there or just some hesitation, you know, having been challenged that much in the first round.
He broke his nose.
Yeah, I did notice that at the end of the fight. I wonder when that actually happened. I didn't actually see it happen.
It was in the second round at some point. Jan said afterwards that he noticed that his nose was broken that's when he knew it was like, okay, this is coming to an end now. And it was like, dude, it was that sucker was like on his cheek, man. His nose was way over there. That must have hurt so bad. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, the real action took place about 30 seconds left in the round. They both started unloading pretty hard. And I think what actually finished Dominic, I think Jan was retreating and hit him with like a left hook just right on the button, I'm pretty sure, if I'm remembering. Actually, I think it was a left hook that kind of wobbled him, and then it was some ground and pound that actually took him out.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was a left or a right hook, but it definitely hit him on the you know, right in the temple. And then you see Dominic just stumbling back, you know.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't on the chin. It was like across the temple. I do recall that now.
Yeah, it was right on his temple, and so then he stumbled, went down, and then, you know, Jan was on him, and I don't think he really connected, but I think the ref just saw that it was like, okay, Dom's like pretty freaking hurt. Let's just go ahead and end this.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So great fight, man. Great fight. Congrats to Jan, obviously. I don't think anybody was really expecting, what's his nickname? Polish Power, or that's what people call him, Polish Power, but I don't think anybody was really expecting that. I think a lot of people were expecting Dominic to take that fight just based on, like you said, that performance against John Jones. But
right.
Definitely cool to see that, you know, really play cool. out. We've, We've got a new light heavyweight title holder, but I don't think Jan himself is even content with his path to the belt. You know, immediately after the fight, in the post fight interview with John Anik, which this was the first in Octagon post fight interview we've had in, like, I don't know, 6 months. So that was cool to see. He called out John Jones immediately. He basically said, "Where are you at, John?" So I think John tweeted something like, "Go be boring somewhere else," or maybe that was Jan to John. I can't remember, but yeah, interesting that he immediately went to call out John Jones. And this is kind of what I was thinking, like, when John vacated the title belt, or vacated his title, you know, somebody coming up to fill that spot. I'm just putting myself in a fighter's shoes. This exact thing plays out, this exact scenario where they have a fight for the belt, you earn the belt, but you never actually beat the former belt holder. Like, I feel like for me, that would just be like an aggravation, especially knowing he's still out there and still active. It's just like, dude, I want to beat the guy, you know?
Right. Right. I could see that. And everybody's kind of, I think a lot of people are kind of like downplaying Jan as a champion here. Just kind of being like, well, you know, if John comes back, he's, you know, he's probably going to beat Jan, because like, John's unstoppable, and Jan's lost 8 times already in his career, and John's never lost. So it's like, well, John's probably going to beat him. And I think John's like the same age as him, or maybe a little bit younger. And then they're looking at, okay, well, if Thiago Santos beats Teixeira, mm-hmm. then Thiago Santos is already knocked out. Has already knocked out Jan. So Thiago was on Twitter saying, "Oh, I'll probably just knock him out again." He sees it still going the same way.
Yeah.
But you know, from Jan's perspective, is he's changed a lot of things in the past year and a half, and it shows, because he's been winning consistently with knockouts almost every fight.
As the past 4 fights, I think, have been knockouts.
Yeah. So, you know, I think these guys are, I mean, it's always a tough, right? Like, everybody's saying, they're always like discounting, you know, I think they're discounting him already, but I'm not going to discount this guy anymore based on what he did to Dominic and, you know, what he's done to everybody else. This guy's got power, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Insane for power. Sure.
Yeah, somebody tweeted, "John fears Polish power," and John replied back, "LOL, yeah, sure, bud." And then he also tweeted, this is what I was looking for, he said, "Would you guys be annoyed if I went back and grabbed my belt real quick?" That's coming from John Jones.
I'd be annoyed if he like said that and then actually went and did it. I'd be like, wow, what a dick. But I'd laugh so hard if he went back and lost. As much as I love John Jones, I don't really love him as a person all the time, you know, but I think he's a really good champion. So,
yeah, for sure. And not to skip ahead too much, but, you know, in response to that, in the post fight presser, Dana White actually said, if John wanted to come back and fight for his belt, they would not deny him that fight. So it's possible, but we're going to talk a little bit more in a minute about what's next for John Jones. But the main event of the evening,
woo!
Man, you and I were so excited for this fight.
Oh, man.
I can't believe it finally has come and gone.
Me
Much
either.
Shorter fight, again, than we were expecting. These last 3 fights we just talked about all ended in round 2. So
everybody said this was going to be the fight of the year. This was going to be it. Hold your pants up, man. This is going to be crazy.
But I mean, what did you think? I mean, did you think it was the fight of the year?
No way, man. Definitely not fight of the year. This was completely one-sided. I mean, what an insane domination. That is, it's just so crazy. Like, Adesanya, what we've seen him do to these people, it like, to the top level people, it really boggles my mind. Like, because he didn't have this type of fight with like Gastelum, right? And he didn't have this kind of fight with, you know, a couple of folks before him. Well, I mean, I think he did with I can't remember his name right now, but
Whitaker.
No. With Whitaker, he had this type of he did the same thing to Costa as he did to Whitaker, basically. It was like the same knockout. But it's just crazy how he's handling these top level fights. It's like he's like Anderson Silva, like he didn't have this type of stuff going on. He wasn't knocking these guys out. Like these guys came rushing towards him and they just get knocked out. And I mean, God, dude, let's break it down. Hit me with round one. What did you think?
Yeah. So round one, again, very similar to the Dominic Reyes, Jan Błachowicz fight. Lots of waiting, lots of feeling each other out, lots of taunting. I don't know if I've ever seen more taunting in a fight than this one in particular, which not surprising here. I'm not sure if you saw the I don't know if it wasn't the weigh-ins. It was like the pre-fight, you know, whatever.
On the beach.
Face-off, on the beach, where Costa brought out a black belt, or had a black belt on and brought a white belt and like threw it in Izzy's face.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty intense.
That's crazy. And then Izzy slapped him with it.
Yeah, that got me pretty hyped up for this fight. But so not surprising coming into this fight. There's a lot of taunting, you know, in the first round. But then once the push came to shove, Izzy starts throwing these monster leg kicks to Costa's left leg, his left lead leg, and just chewed it up. Paulo didn't check a single kick. He just absorbed every single one of them without fail, and didn't switch stances, didn't adjust, didn't circle towards, you know, whatever he needed to do to avoid that strategy. If it's me, like after the third one of those, like you should definitely start to adjust. I'm not sure if it was a pride sort of thing. He's been calling Izzy too skinny, not strong, no power. He's born to dance. He's not born to fight, all this stuff. So it's like maybe he was just trying to show like, oh, I'm big, tough, strong guy. These don't hurt. But yeah, man, those things added up for sure. But Yeah, I mean, even at some point, Costa put his hands down behind his back and was just like trying to bait. I think he was just trying to bait Izzy into his range.
Yeah, that's probably what I think it was, frustration that he couldn't get close to Izzy, because Izzy's like insanely good. I mean, he's a master at controlling range.
Yeah.
And so the whole fight, I mean, definitely the first round, you know, he just stayed on the outside and just kept kicking Costa. And I think there was a couple punches thrown, but it was basically just Adesanya kicking him in the leg in the same spot over and over again. And as the first round went on, you could just see the welt, like the little bruises all over his leg, just building up all up and down it.
Yeah.
And
what was interesting too, is like, you started to see these bruises in the back of his calf, but then you're like, wait a second, they're on his other leg too. It was actually cupping bruises that you were seeing on some areas of his legs. It looked like he had cupping done. If you guys aren't familiar with that, essentially, I don't know exactly how it works, but I think they heat up these little cups while they're sitting on your skin, and it essentially sucks up your skin into a cup. And that's supposed to like bring extra blood to that area of your body.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. And a lot of UFC fighters, if you see like circular bruises on people's backs and stuff like that, I think what it's supposed to do is, if you're having like pain in specific areas, this is something, I'm not sure if it's a proven science, to be honest with you guys, but it's supposed to bring more blood flow to that area to do like some sort of natural healing or whatever. So
pseudoscience, basically.
Yeah, exactly. It's like acupuncture and all those things. But that was visible on both of Costa's legs, on his calves. So there was some speculation around, like, we're not sure if Izzy picked up on that and noticed that, or maybe his corner noticed that. And that would, you know, presumably tell somebody, okay, Costa's got something going on with his legs. He's got some issues happening there. Let's attack the legs. And maybe that's what was the impetus to his strategy going in. So just interesting. That's not confirmed, obviously, but that could definitely be the case.
Well, Costa did say today, he posted a video basically bashing Izzy for the post fight celebration, the disrespectful humping. basically, and he revealed then that he didn't say like specifically what it was, and he said, this is an excuse, but I'm gonna come back.
Yeah,
you know, so I think there was something there, but it's like, how much of something was it. And right. And didn't he just have his bicep? I mean, he had surgery done on his arm, so this was his first fight back from surgery. And if he had another injury, then who knows? Maybe this wasn't the best Costa that we've seen. Maybe that's why he was so slow. I honestly didn't know that. I thought that those were all welts from Izzy's kicks, but I guess it makes sense now that they were so like apparent.
Yeah, if you go back, they blend in pretty well, but he really was just attacking that lead left leg with his leg kicks. But if you check out his right leg, there were also circular bruises on the back of his calves.
I mean, he kicked him so hard, he actually opened up a cut on Costa's leg. You saw that, right?
I think I do remember that, but that's insane.
You know, right where that nerve is that everybody's talking about? What's the name of it again? I can't remember.
I can't remember either, but that's kind of what we assumed took Sean O'Malley out.
Peroneal? Is that
it? Yeah, there you go. Peroneal. I think it was, peroneal nerve.
Peroneal nerve. He kicked him. He kept kicking him in that same spot where the peroneal nerve is. If you go back and look, it actually opened up a cut on his leg. It's pretty crazy.
So brutal.
Yeah, man.
Insane. So yeah, that was the strategy coming out. And then in round two, again, with the leg kicks, Paulo's still slow to engage. And it seems like, again, he's just kind of baiting him, he wants the counter shot, I guess, which is kind of unlike Paulo, I think. I mean, usually he's the one that's aggressive, walking people down, even walking down Yoel Romero in their fight. Izzy, like you said, he's just too good, man. He sees everything coming, and Paulo's still not checking those leg kicks. And eventually, Izzy starts to unload a little bit more and got a pretty nasty head kick, which I think really sort of rocked Costa a little bit at that point.
Yeah, if you pay attention, you'll see that Izzy was doing question mark kicks. I think he did like three or four.
They're so fast, dude.
And like the first one, like it completely missed. And like every time after that, he got like a little bit closer and a little bit closer. And then like the third or fourth one, he like it like just barely grazed Costa. And then the next one after that was like solid, man. It was like, it felt nice just seeing that land, actually.
I love the question mark kick. It's so awesome to watch.
It's so fast, dude.
Yeah. And that was just, I mean, I can't even like imagine moving my leg that fast. But I think it comes down to it in the end, there was a pretty great combo by Costa. I'm not really sure exactly what that combo was comprised of, but I think it was another temple shot actually took Costa to the ground. And then I think Izzy obviously finished on top of Costa. You know, he had his back and was ground and pounding before they stopped it. And that was the end of the fight. And this is where the controversy comes in. Izzy got a little too excited, some pun intended there. I don't even know how to explain it, but this one, he will never live this one down. I'm sure he gave a couple quick humps to Paulo Costa. I don't know how else to put it.
a lot of sexual tension there. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then I don't know if you caught this, but he went over to Paulo Costa's corner. And you know that like little guy that like wears those white glasses and is always hanging out with Triple C and all them?
Yeah.
So he goes up to him, and I guess the guy said, "We're coming for you." And Izzy immediately responded, "Well, I'm coming on you." And just walked away from him.
Okay.
Not sure what's going on there. Another thing, you know, while we're on this topic, did you notice anything weird about Izzy when he was walking out?
No.
Did you look at his pectoral muscles?
No.
You should go back and look at his pectoral muscles. In the post-fight press conference, they asked him this, and he said, "Why are you guys looking at my tits?" And then he moved on, right? But if you go back and look, one of them is like drooping. It's sagging. It almost looks like he has like a small breast.
What?
Yeah, go back and look at it, man. It's super weird looking. And when he was walking out, I was like, has that always been like that? What the fuck's going on, dude? I don't understand. But it looks like super weird. And so I watched a doctor kind of broke it down and gave like a multiple different reasons why that probably could have been. And you guys will have to go watch.
Oh, I'm seeing the pictures of it now.
you'll have to go watch a breakdown of, like, no one's really sure what's going on there. I'm sure Izzy knows and people around him know, but they're saying, like, this is all speculation, and it's probably not this, but they say that it's probably an imbalance of hormones. Potentially, it could be an imbalance, but usually when you have a hormone imbalance, it affects both sides of the body equally. And so that goes for the same for, like, steroid use. If there's steroid use, you know, something like that would affect both sides of the body at the same time. So, like, that's probably not what it is. And then if it was, like, a torn pectoral, frankly, he just wouldn't have been able to fight. There's no way that he could have fought with a torn pectoral. So there's no way that that's what it is. So, I mean, the only other thing could be, like, excess body fat. But the dude's, like, skinnier than a freaking metal rail. So it's like, I mean, how could he have excess body fat in that specific area? So, yeah, kind of weird seeing that, you know. I was kind of like, I couldn't understand what was going on when he was walking out, you know?
Strange. Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of it now. Definitely interesting. But yeah, I guess we'll see if anything else comes out about that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I thought it was weird.
Definitely weird.
It is weird.
Yeah, I mean,
but I was saying that because it was like, what's up with all this, like, sexual tension going on? It's so weird.
It is weird, and it's just disrespectful, honestly. I don't think that I immediately when I saw it, I told my wife, I'm like, there's probably going to be a fine that comes from that. I mean, if there's not, there should be 100%.
Yeah.
You go first.
You. No, you want me to go? I'll say it real quick. I messaged you, like, immediately after that and was like, that, you know, like, I'm not a fan of that stuff. All right, your turn.
Yeah, I literally told my wife, I was like, there's going to be a fine for that. And you look at any other professional sports league, you know, they hold their athletes to pretty high standards. You know, even in the NFL, I can't remember exactly which game it was that I was watching, but, you know, I honestly don't remember what the situation was, but the player got flagged for taunting, you know, essentially either tackled somebody or caught the ball on top of somebody. I don't remember, but got up and kind of, like, taunted the guy, and there was a flag for that. I don't know the specifics, but if you spike the ball in the end zone or do a specific, you know, celebrations in the end zone after a touchdown, you get fined some ridiculous amount of money. I don't really know why UFC fighters should be treated any differently. And one thing that I appreciate about the UFC is that you don't typically see that sort of behavior. People are usually very respectful to one another, even if they have a lot of beef. And even in this instance, Adesanya went up to Paulo after the fight. They shook hands. They talked for a second, whatever. And now Paulo obviously is coming out and saying, like, hey, I didn't know he humped me after he knocked me out. Right.
Right.
So otherwise he probably wouldn't have been so cordial about it, but I don't think there's any place in the sport for that kind of behavior. I think that Dana White should seriously consider, you know, some sort of fine, or there's gotta be some sort of repercussion for that. Otherwise that stuff's going to run rampant in the sport and just really tarnish the reputation that the sport has, I feel like.
Yeah. And I noticed that right after that happened, the first replay, they actually cut that part out during the first replay right afterwards. But then like 5 minutes later, they did another replay and they included it. And the commentator that was speaking at the time was like, well, I don't really know what that was, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, it's something that I agree. That should definitely not be allowed. First off, there should be a heavy fine involved. It's demeaning to the other person. It's extremely unsportsmanlike. So,
yeah.
You know, on national television in front of, you know, not national television, but in front of millions of viewers, you're going to do something disrespectful like that. Well, first off, it's like I've actually lost respect for Izzy as a person, not as a fighter, you know, so.
Yeah, I agree, man. I do agree. That's just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And I saw some people writing like, he's never going to live this one down. This is going to go down in his highlight reel for, you know, for the rest of his career. And hopefully he understands that. But kind of sucks for Paulo too, since that's kind of now his image also. But
yeah,
you know, it kind of sucks. I mean, then of course Israel went out and said that he thinks that fighters should be docked 90% of their purse by missing weight. That was in response to an earlier fight that night. I don't remember exactly which one it was, but it might have been the Brandon Royale fight, actually, now that we think about it.
No, it wasn't. It was a prelim card. One of the guys that was on his team fought against another guy that came in 4 pounds over and didn't even attempt to hit his weight. He actually just went and ate food.
Yeah, definitely not cool. So you think people should get docked 90% of their pay for missing weight? Well, you probably should get docked, you know, some percentage of your purse for acting like a fool. But
yeah,
that's just my opinion.
Well, that's why they dock those players in the NFL when they go and celebrate. It's unsportsmanlike to go do that, right? And yeah. So they get fined. If you look at all the different ways that like NFL and NBA players get fined for things, it's like insane. They get fined so much for like the littlest things, but that's how it should be. It's like you gotta find a way to punish unlikable activity, unlikable behavior.
Yeah.
So they should fine him.
I agree 100%. Maybe we'll see some stuff come out about that later down the road.
Dollars. No, I'm just kidding.
$1 million.
Number two.
So just real quick before we move on, is he, you know, what's next for him? I mean, there's really not much competition in that division anymore for him. I mean, he's kind of taken out everybody that's kind of below him for the most part, but he, you know, even said himself in the Octagon that he believes Jared Cannonier should get the next fight. As long as he beats Robert Whittaker, that fight's coming up relatively soon. You know, so I think that would be awesome. I think Jared Cannonier is an amazing fighter. I'm not sure what his last few fights look like, but I think that would be interesting to see for sure.
He's been winning. He's been winning all of his most recent fights, and I think that I thought before, before Izzy took the belt, I thought that Cannonier could have, taken the belt as well. I thought that he had that much power and skill. I don't know if he's, I don't know how he matches up against Israel Adesanya, but, I sure would like to see that fight. And I do actually think that he will beat Whittaker.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, Robert's obviously coming off of a loss against Izzy. I think that was his last fight, right? Or no, he beat Darren Till.
Yeah.
Beat Darren Till very recently. So I don't know. I mean, he's on a title run as well right now, trying to get that shot back at Izzy. So yeah, we'll see how that plays out. But interesting nonetheless. So moving on from all that, exciting night of fights. You guys let us know in the comments or send us a message on Twitter or Instagram. What did you guys think about the fights, the post-fight actions by Izzy, all that good stuff? We want to hear what you guys think. But moving on from that, we've kind of touched on this a little bit earlier, but John Jones, never out of the spotlight for long. I want to talk about what do we think he's going to do next. As we mentioned earlier, he was quick to say that he may go back and get his light heavyweight title back from Jan. But in addition to that, there's some feuding, there's some growing beef between he and Adesanya also.
And don't forget about heavyweight.
Yeah, exactly. He's been beefing up, it looks like, working out and trying to gain some weight to move up there. And Dana's already said that he's going to get an instant title shot should he ever move up to heavyweight officially. Not sure what that means for, Stipe and what his next fight will be, but he's kind of looking at the title for three different divisions right now. There's a little bit of beef between Adesanya and John Jones. Like I mentioned, I think Adesanya went on Twitter and said something about like now he just wants to F up John Jones. and John said, he said something like, literally right now I could tear your arm off of your body.
Did say that. So what are my thoughts? I think that it's probably in Jones's best interest to go up to heavyweight and fight Stipe for the belt. Because if he goes down to, if he goes and fights Jan Błachowicz, let's say he loses, right? then he kind of like screws himself over because he's now lost. He retired and then lost. And it's like, well, where does he go from here? I mean, is he still going to have the same options at heavyweight? And Adesanya might not even want to fight him anymore because it's like, hey, you've lost, dude. You're old news.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a better choice for him to go up to heavyweight and fight Stipe, because let's just say he wins the belt. Then he's got the most to win by going up to heavyweight and becoming the baddest MF-er on earth, right?
Right.
Now, let's say he loses. Okay, well, you lost, all right? Well, you were fighting up a weight class. You have a great excuse for losing. Yep. You're fighting against Stipe, who's decorated, and he's pretty awesome, and, you know, he's going to be a really tough challenge. So if he loses, then he can just go back down and fight Jan Błachowicz. If he goes to Jan first, he might take that heavyweight opportunity out of the picture. So I think for him, his best bet is to go up, then go back down and fight Jan. And, you know, if that all fails, maybe have an exhibition match against Adesanya. Or he goes straight back. I mean, his best thing would be go to heavyweight and then drop down and fight Adesanya after that, and then go back to his own weight class and fight there. And if he wins all of that, then, I mean, he's the baddest MF-er of all. But if he wins one and two, then at least he can go back and try and get his belt back.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying 100%. I think all that makes perfect sense. I can't really see. I mean, like, there's only so much your body can handle. So if he's already been putting on weight for heavyweight, it's like takes a lot to cut all the way down to middleweight. So I don't see that happening anytime soon. I 100% agree with you about what you're saying. If he loses to Jan by some chance, you know, he kind of loses his heavyweight shot. So I agree. I think that's the move. I do hope that Stipe gets a fight in between now and then. I hope that Ngannou gets another shot at the title, and then, you know, John Jones gets to pick, I guess, from there. Does he fight Stipe or does he fight Ngannou?
Man, so scary.
If there's an Ngannou John Jones fight, that's going to be amazing.
Holy shit, dude.
Yeah, exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. But moving on from that, Conor McGregor, the star child of the UFC, still in the news. Some drama between he and Dana White. I'm not sure if you've seen this yet, but, you know, of course the media outlets out there like to kind of give you some clickbait headlines. You know, at first I was piqued. My interest was piqued because it's like Conor McGregor leaks DMs with Dana White. And I'm like, oh no, what's going on in these DMs with Dana White? This is not good. But it really wasn't as bad as they made it sound. But regardless, you know, Dana White claims that Conor McGregor broke man code by leaking messages between the two of them. I believe it was on Twitter or maybe with Instagram direct messages. I'm not really sure. But what they were talking about was a potential matchup between Conor and Diego Sanchez. Diego's on his kind of exit tour right now. I think he's got one more fight and then he's kind of, it looks like maybe be retiring. Their conversation was really about, you know, the respect that Conor had, it sounds like, for Diego Sanchez as being one of the last fighters from The Ultimate Fighter Season 1. And Conor actually proposed a fight between he and Diego Sanchez to Dana. And the whole beef occurs when Dana says, no, you know, we're not making that matchup happen. You know, you, Conor, are a ranked fighter. You know, he's right now ranked number 5. Why would we match you up with 39-year-old Diego Sanchez, who's currently unranked? He's like, I think word for word said, we would lose our promoter license if we did that. So I guess that's where the kind of beef comes in. But interesting nonetheless.
I just, I'm just skeptical of that whole interaction. Cause honestly, I just feel like there's something else going on there. Like it's a big, oh, let's rile up the publicity and, oh, shame on you, Conor. And Conor's like, oh, whatever, dude. But it's like, none of it ever really happened. Like, I feel like just none of it ever really happened. And they were just like, let's keep Conor in people's minds. Yeah. So let's just get something out there. Oh, Diego's kind of like still employed, but, you know, let's get as much out of Diego as we can. Let's just say something stupid, you know? And like get the publicity going on. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just some like conspiracy theorist or something, but like this whole thing at like ground level just doesn't make sense to me. Why would Connor want Diego? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's true. This is why I think we're a good pairing, because you don't take things at face value as much as I do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, you make a good point. I mean, why would Connor want Diego Sanchez? I don't know. I think that's definitely a valid point. And, you know, and speaking of Connor, maybe this was part of this is a whole game plan, I guess, because news came out today, actually, that he and Dustin Poirier are supposedly arranging a potential charity fight, completely separate from the UFC.
This makes sense. The other shit makes no sense at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. This is like something I could see Connor doing.
For sure. And I'm going to read here. I'm just going to kind of abbreviate a little bit. We posted this on our story. I thought I could zoom in here, but I guess I can't. So I'm just going to have to hold it really close to my face. The long story short version of it is there was a Twitter conversation between Connor and Dustin. Essentially, you know, I'm not sure who initiated the conversation, but there's a tweet from Dustin saying Connor ? And then Connor's like, hey, bro, in an Irish accent, you want to do an MMA charity fight? Zero to do with the UFC. I will donate $500,000 towards your charity for it. So if you guys don't know, Dustin, I think, does a charity, what's it called? The Good Fight Foundation. So Connor's saying he'll donate money to his charity. We'll sell it on pay-per-view or work out a TV deal, and we work out other charities that are close to my heart also. I am engaged in many, strictly a charity exhibition. He goes on to say, December 12th in the Point Depot in Ireland, no weigh-ins, open weight, unified rules. I will arrange all travel fare for you and your family under, I guess, McGregor Sports and Entertainment MMA in association with the Good Fight Foundation. And then Diamond Dustin says, yeah, let's go. Marquees of the Queensberry Rules Exhibition. I don't know what the heck that means, but whatever. And then Dustin says, I'm in, let's do it. A lot of people will benefit from this. And then Connor says, excellent. We shall take it offline and progress the process from here. Good man, Dustin. I respect your philanthropic efforts greatly, as well as how you conducted yourself post our first fight. You have my respect. So very, very interesting stuff there.
I'm not 100% sure either that like Connor's the one typing these messages.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as like broken as usual.
Because the way that you just said all that, I was like, that doesn't sound like Connor. Maybe it just needs to be in an Irish accent. But even then, like, I mean, he's like a multimillionaire. Is he really writing Twitter messages, or is he just like laying back in his chair, just like drinking some whiskey? I mean, and he's just like spouting it off. Yeah, say this. Oh yeah, now say this. And then they're just like typing it out for him, you know?
It could definitely be a manager or social media PR person talking about it. But I think regardless, it's interesting that they would put that out into the public, you know, into the public's eyes for everyone to pick up on. Really interesting. I thought that Connor's like putting up the money for it. Obviously, he's the one that's got the money. You know, I'm not really sure. I mean, I guess he's got enough money. He could just donate himself.
Hold on. Think about it. He just got into some shit over public indecency.
Yeah.
This is a direct response to that where, oh, Connor's the bad guy. Wait. Oh, Connor's the good guy. He's going to donate $500,000 to charity. We love Connor. It's politics.
You're on it, man. Your insight level is like at max tonight. I appreciate that.
Brain power is fucking going through the roof. I drank so much water today. It's just like coursing through my veins.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's a really good point. I didn't even think about that angle, honestly. But that could absolutely be what this is. It's kind of, and that would explain. It could very well be a PR agency sending those tweets. The whole thing could be arranged. Everything's a lie. My whole life is a lie.
All right, guys, have a good time. See you later.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go jump out the window. Oh, geez.
Well, regardless, if it does benefit some charities, I would love to see Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier rematch.
You're right. Life goes on, And there's going to be more events. And speaking of more events, we got one upcoming this weekend. Saturday, October 3rd, we got another fight night on Fight Island in Abu Dhabi. Ah, man, not really too exciting. Have you looked at this card yet?
I have looked at it. Not super, super interested in it, but I probably will still watch it. I'm excited to see Holly Holm fight again, as always.
Yeah, yeah. So let me just run through this card for everybody real quick, guys. So we got the main event here is Holly Holm versus Irene Aldana. Holly Holm's number 2. Irene Aldana is number 6. You know, I don't really know a lot about Irene Aldana. Of course, I know a ton about Holly Holm. I'm rooting for Holly Holm. You know, interesting enough, Holly Holm's 13-5. Irene is 12-5. So they have, you know, essentially the same kind of record. This would be a big fight if Irene Aldana were to win this fight. You know, so should be interesting. This is actually going to be a pretty big night for women's bantamweight because right before the women's main event there, there's a bantamweight fight. It's not the co-main, but it's Jermaine Durandamy versus Juliana Pena. I think I'm saying that right. And it's very interesting that Holly Holm versus Irene is the main event because it's number 2 versus number 6. And then under that main event is number 1 versus number 4. So it's very interesting that the lower ranked individuals are actually the main event of the evening. And I'm thinking it's probably just because maybe Holly Holm is more marketable than Jermaine Durandamy. That's the only thing I can really think of. But
100%.
Yeah. And Jermaine Durandamy is, if you don't know who that is, she last fought for the belt December of 2019 against, and of course I'm not going to remember her name right now.
Amanda Nunez.
Amanda Nunez. My brain is fried, I guess, from all the drinking this past weekend. And I mean, she had a great fight against Amanda. Amanda was losing in the stand up the whole fight, essentially. So Amanda was just taking her down and ground and pounding her the whole time. So very good, to see that. She well deserves the number one spot. She's going to be against Juliana, Pena. I don't know, man. I kind of feel like this is a give me fight because, Juliana hasn't fought since July of 2019. It's been well over a year now. Since she's fought and, yeah, I'm interested to see, you know, she's number 4. I'm interested to see how competitive this bout will be.
Yeah. I mean, Juliana's got some impressive wins under her belt. She's beaten Jessica Ai back in 2015, beaten Kat Zingano back in 2016. She fought Valentina Shevchenko. I guess that was for a title. I don't know if that was for a title or not. Back in 2017, got submitted by Valentina in the second round. Her last fight in 2019 was against Nico Montano. So yeah, I'm interested in seeing Jermaine Durandamy, and see how this performance looks. But yeah, interesting, like you said, interesting night for the women's bantamweight. And I agree with what you're saying about Holly Holm just being more marketable, but she's still got a lot of talent. Even though she's been around forever, lots of talent, always exciting to watch. And speaking of question mark kicks, Holly Holm does it the best, as you know, some of the best question mark kicks you've ever seen.
Oh, absolutely, man. She's a world champion kickboxer. So, of course, you know, she would have that level of skill. You know, I know Jermaine Durandamy actually beat her earlier, I think last year, maybe 2018. I can't remember what it was. You know, so it's just very interesting to see how they put this card together. But
yeah,
you know, moving on a bit, we got a heavyweight co-main event. We got Jorgen De Castro versus Carlos Felipe. I don't know if it's Felipe or Felipe. So we'll go with Felipe.
It's Philip.
Hey Phil. Hi. So it's Charles Phil then.
Yeah.
It's Chuck Phil. Carlos Felipe in American is Chuck Phil. We'll go with that. These guys are both coming off of a loss. Jorgen De Castro is 6-1. Carlos Phil is 8-1. And so Jorgen De Castro had a very recent controversial loss. I don't know if you guys remember Inhalergate. Do you remember Inhalergate with Greg Hardy?
Oh, I was wondering why this guy's name was so familiar.
Yeah, man. So this is the one that went to decision, and Greg Hardy, you know, hit that inhaler in between rounds, and then it got turned over to a no contest. But interesting enough, Jorgen still has a loss on his side. So what the heck is that about? Shouldn't that be a, you know, shouldn't that be something else? I don't know. And then Carlos Philippe lost his UFC debut against Sergey Spivak via decision. So that's both of their most recent fights. They're both coming off losses. I think that this Carlos guy has a lot to lose, man. If he loses this next fight, that might be, you know, two and done kind of deal. I think Jorgen De Castro has a good future ahead of him. Even if he loses, I don't see him losing this fight, though. So,
yeah. Yeah, I do remember the inhaler gate situation, even though I think he was losing that fight pretty significantly, if I remember. Or I don't know, man. It's been a while now. He might have been giving Greg Hardy, you know, a little bit of a tougher fight.
No, I remember he got injured. That's what it was. You know what? Maybe I'm remembering incorrectly, but for some reason it popped into my mind that he got injured in like the first round and so wasn't really able to give it his full go. And Greg Hardy wasn't really pulling the trigger either, but he was doing more than Jorgen was. So
yeah.
Maybe if somebody wants to go back and fact check me on that,
but yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Either way, we got inhalers, yeah. Not fair. Puff, puff, pass.
So before we wrap up, I got two more folks. We got middleweight Daquan Townsend versus Dusko Todorovic. Dusko is 9-0 coming into the UFC. Daquan Townsend's 21-11. I think I've seen Daquan fight a couple times. Not bad. Neither of these guys are ranked. But interesting with a 9-0 record, you know, who knows what's coming. Maybe this guy is the next big thing. We'll see. And then also we have a bantamweight bout between Kyler Phillips and Cameron Else. Kyler Phillips 7-1, Cameron Else 10-4. Don't really know anything about these guys, you know, but I'll be looking forward to see them fight. Hopefully we'll see some good stuff happening. All right. Wow, are you excited for are you going to watch it on Saturday?
Yeah, I'll at least tune in for the later fights in the main event for sure. But I want to get back to, you know, watching some of the, I used to watch like all the prelims and everything. And that was mainly when our second child was very young, and he would wake up multiple times at night and I'd have to feed him, and he'd be up for like 30 minutes to 45 minutes or whatever eating. And so I'd literally, and in order to stay awake, I'm not a bad parent. Don't judge me out there, guys. I feel you judging me right now. I'd pull out my phone. I'd have him like in this hand with the bottle, you know, doing his thing. And in the other hand, I'd have the UFC, I'd have ESPN Plus up on my phone watching through the prelims of that weekend, the most recent prelims, and even the main card in some instances. And so I'd get to know like all these, you know, up and coming fighters and stuff. So I want to get back to doing that, but it's just hard to find the time to watch all of these things. But yeah, I mean, there's so much up and coming talent in the UFC right now that I need to kind of brush up on some of these names.
Well, no judgment for me. That's for sure. I totally understand. But I think that wraps it up for us. So unless you got anything else.
No, man, I think that does it. That was a lot of information to cover. So yeah, man, looking forward to this weekend. And of course we will have we'll be back again on Friday with another regularly scheduled episode, and I'm excited. We got a lot of stuff to catch up on.
Awesome. Real quick, guys, I want to remind you all to subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast player. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you really want to help us grow, share this episode with a friend. Make sure to stop by YouTube if you want to see the video version of it as well. Drop a subscribe and a like on the video there. As always, we appreciate your support. And we thank you all for being here. So appreciate you guys.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you guys so much. And we will see you all in the next one.
Later.
See ya.